This is the John Oakley Show on Talk Radio, AM 640.
They're not going to build their plant there. They're going to build it in the United States.
But there is a North American free trade agreement.
And there shouldn't be. It's a disaster.
But it is okay. There.
Yes,
and if you're president, you're going to have to live with it.
We will either renegotiate it or we will break it.
Donald Trump, you know, and he said as much yesterday in his victory speech in Pennsylvania, because I guess the steel industry has been decimated, as of many jobs in manufacturing and so on and so forth, going over to China, to Mexico, to wherever, and he is making that kind of noise that maybe leads us to wonder if, as much as it's good theater, should Canadians be concerned? Let's find out. Our friend Mark Stein has joined us, prolific author, renowned raconteur, and boulevardier. Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you from the boulevard.
Well, yeah, that's right. You know, too many years on the avenue. There you go, Mark. You're jaded and shop-worn. But listen, you know, love Trump. It's great theater watching last night. I mean, and the guy even exceeded expectations from some of the punditry and people in his own party, so to speak. So he's the presumptive nominee, which, by the way, he's defining himself as right now. And
right.
You think it pretty much looks like a slam dunk at this point?
Yeah, I think the choice for the people who started the Never Trump movement, which is my old friends at National Review and the Weekly Standard, and basically the pundit class on the right, who came up with this hashtag Never Trump, the choice for them is whether they want to beat Hillary or whether they lose to Hillary, because Trump is going to be the nominee. The conventional wisdom, these guys, by the way, these guys bet against Trump now since last June when he entered the race, and they've lost every time. They talked about the low ceiling. Well, he had a ceiling of 60% in some states last night, whereas the alternative to Trump, which is Ted Cruz, and I got nothing against Ted Cruz. He gave me a very cool intro when I spoke at the Senate, the United States Senate, last December. He introduced me as a top five jazz best-selling vocalist and a leading Canadian human rights activist. And I thought there was an earthquake going on. It was just the grinding of teeth from the Democrats listening to Ted Cruz's intro. Mm-hmm. Got nothing against Ted Cruz, but he was down to the alternative to Trump was pushed down to 10% in a couple of states last night. So there is no alternative to Trump. As astounding as it seems, a reality show guy has snaffled the Republican Party nomination. So those guys on the right who object to it are better decide how worried they are about a Hillary presidency, because it's Hillary and Trump and there ain't nobody else.
All right. And so if it is Trump, and let's say he were to win, you know, and confound a lot of the punditry as well, should Canadians be concerned? I played that clip about NAFTA and he reiterated last night. I mean, you know, we've been the beneficiaries, I think, to a large extent. You might get some argument, though, from certain quarters here and certainly on the left. But, you know, trade, we're a trading nation and exporting nation, and the bulk of which goes to the U.S. of A. Should we be concerned?
Well, I think he's got other priorities. It's like if he's going to bust up NAFTA, his primary target is Mexico. But what we're witnessing here, I think, is that for a big chunk of America, and it's slightly different in Canada and the rest of the West, but for a big chunk of America, globalism doesn't work. Globalism just means that the rest of the planet takes your jobs, and you, who used to have a steady $20 an hour job that enabled you to live a middle-class lifestyle, now you got a choice of doing an $8 job at the quickie crap night shift, or you're just going to be on Social Security disability benefits for the rest of your life. So in a sense, this is real for a lot of people. For the lower middle class in the United States, wages have fallen. People are falling out of the middle class. You've got downward mobility, which is kind of un-American, because the American dream is supposed to be, you know, you start in the teeming tenements of the Lower East Side in Manhattan, because you just got off the boat at Ellis Island, and in two generations, your grandchildren are going to university and having a spectacular life. If you've got downward mobility, there's really no point to America, and that's the reality that Trump has addressed. So there is it's a real issue, and it's not going away, that one.
Well, and you know, they say, though, he's only appealing to the angry old white guys. Is that the profile you see? Because he was decrying that last night, saying he's winning with women. And there were somebody had broken it out that 600,000, I think it was, Democrats had switched allegiance and right. their party affiliation to go on board with Trump? I mean, what's going on?
Well, nobody. I mean, I think he has got broad appeal. I think Ted Cruz, as I say, I like Ted Cruz, and I don't want to upset any Cruz fans. But Cruz had this classic narrow professional political strategy that some states mattered and others didn't. So Iowa mattered to Cruz, but New Hampshire didn't. South Carolina mattered to Cruz, but Florida didn't. Wisconsin mattered to Cruz, but New York didn't. And Trump, by contrast, just says, I want to win everywhere. I want to win everywhere. I want to make winning great again. I want every victory to be huge. So he wins Massachusetts, and he wins Alabama, and he wins high-income people, and he wins low-income people, and he wins in these primaries. He's won evangelicals, and he's won secular libertarians. So the fact of the matter is he's broken every rule in professional politics. And one of them he's broken is this kind of micromanaged target data thing where you identify the seven counties, you know, in the key swing states that matter. And you try and turn 37 soccer moms who own Priuses. And if you can turn those 37 soccer moms, you win the election. Trump says nuts to that. Everyone's an American and I want all their votes.
All right. Well, you know, some say he's a shameless self-promoter. And there are some who say the same thing of Justin Trudeau, actually, in this country. I want to come back, follow up on that, and we'll see where we go. And if it's light and fluffy that you want, look at those pancakes on the plate of John Kasich. Boy, he can't even eat them right. How presidential is that? We'll touch on all of these themes in a moment.
Canada does not and will not pay ransom to terrorists. Directly or indirectly.
8:46 with Mark Stein on the line this morning, and that was a clip from the Prime Minister yesterday. We're just finding out this morning the torso was found and identified of Mr. Ridsdell, who had been decapitated by these, I'm not entirely clear. You see, that's part of the point here, that the Prime Minister, it's a suggestion he's feckless in dealing with jihadists. Let's put it to Mark Stein. Mark, I mean, what's your take on all of this as this is playing out?
Well, he is somewhat passive about it while regretting the death of a Canadian citizen at the hands of these barbarians. The fact is that Justin Trudeau has a very mixed record, to put it politely, on the question of Islamic terrorism. He thought the Boston Marathon bombers, for example, were, quote, excluded from society, that if they'd, in fact, they were welcomed into the most liberal progressive part of the greater Boston area and were beneficiaries of a boundlessly indulgent society. So he's absolutely feeble on the root cause of what is going on here. You played that song half an hour ago, whatever it is, Sunny Ways. Mm. These are Sunny Ways, S-U-N-N-I ways. This is what a particular radical strain of Islamic terrorism does. It's not excluded from society. It has an alternative view of society that it wishes to impose. And so there's two choices here, John. Are we going to live in a world, just to decode what it is that the Prime Minister is saying on the beheading of a Canadian citizen, which is a bloody awful way to die, by the way, because these guys aren't good at it. And when they're hacking through your neck, it can take a long time. It's incredibly painful. It's one of the most excruciating ways to end your life. What he's basically saying is that I got nothing here, pals. I got nothing for you. I don't want to talk about this. I want to do nice photo ops where I'm in a New York gym or I'm doing a yoga pose and the court eunuchs of the Canadian media are all standing around me cooing and taking photographs. That's my priority. And unfortunately, once in a while, a tourist who happens to be in the wrong part of the world is going to get his head hacked off and a sports stadium is going to be blown up and someone's going to walk into a magazine office and gun down a bunch of cartoonists and a marathon will get blown to smithereens. And I got nothing. I'm not part of this story. I don't have a single insight into what is going on here. That's the subtext of the Justin Trudeau message yesterday.
Well, all right. You mentioned him being in New York, and even the Conservatives bringing it up in the House now that some of these things seem to be more about style or vanity over content. Although on Friday he was signing this Paris Climate Treaty at the United Nations, along with all these other signatories, suggesting there's a consensus that's been reached, the jury's in, there's no more disagreement on this. Of course, You beg to differ, and you've also presented that in book form. You know, I guess it's a disgrace to the profession is the title. But you also on your recent blog, we're talking about climate godfathers. Like there's a cartel of sorts here when it comes to the whole climate change question or global warming. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, there's now a movement afoot. I mean, there's a group of attorneys general in the United States who have basically decided to criminalize differences of opinion on the climate question. And they're prosecuting people who disagree with them. They're trying to make it a climate dissent, climate denial, a crime, and put people in jail for it, as David Suzuki has been arguing should be done for years. The reality is, there was a report a few days ago that the planet has greened. We've got 18 million more square kilometers or kilometers, or for us old school imperialists, I think that's about 10 million more square miles of greenery due to the so-called increase in CO2. CO2 has been actually incredibly beneficial for the planet. So we're able to grow more food. We're able to sustain more species than we would if we did not have this increase, this extra 18 million square kilometers of greenery. So there are actually genuine differences of opinion here on observed reality. But what people like Justin Trudeau have done, the political class has essentially hijacked the debate here, and it has said that only these climate models, the 21st century climate models that have all been proven wrong, these models trump reality. Trudeau, the great, what is he the expert in, quantum mechanics?
Something like that, quantum computers or something.
Yeah, okay, Captain Quantum hasn't heard a thing about this 18 million extra square kilometers of greenery due to the increase in CO2. He can stay up the night before practicing his Captain Quantum answer in the mirror all night long, but he wouldn't be able to talk about this because scientists are actually incredibly interested in what's going on in the real world. Like too many, like David Cameron, Angela Merkel, like Malcolm Turnbull in Australia, like Barack Obama, they have an ideological view of the climate, and it's absolutely irrelevant to reality.
But they, and I mean, we're reading every day or every other day that the Arctic ice is melting, Greenland, the ice cap is also receding at a tremendous rate. Should we not be alarmed?
No, because climate comes and goes. So you got some melting at the Arctic and you got increased ice at the Antarctic. It swings and roundabouts. And Mother Earth is the biggest swings and roundabouts collection of them all.
Well, and they talk about the three warmest months on record, and the last year alone was. And so we're all leading to some kind of incineration down the road as they project out. Not cause for alarm.
No, it's not at all. We're going to be talking in 10 years' time. We'll be on this show, and we'll be complaining about the big chill, which will have settled in by then. You can relax on this stuff, John. The world is not incinerating. There's no need to worry about. There will not be alligators back at the North Pole as there were, whatever it was, 600 million years ago. The alligators aren't going to be returning to the North Pole anytime soon.
All right. Well, we can take that to the bank. Mark,
yeah.
Is that based on a computer model now, or are you just speculating off the top?
I did it in a crayon during the commercial break.
Okay.
It's brilliant. It's been peer-reviewed by my dog, so it must be good.
All right, we'll take that to the bank for sure. Good to talk, as always. A lot of fun. We'll do it again real soon.
Okay, John.
We got a Mark Stein. There he goes. And by the way, you can read his blog, Stein Online, and also Feline Groovy, his CD dedicated to Cat Tunes, is also rocketing up the charts on Amazon.
The John Oakley Show. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 till 10 on AM 640 or download the app at 640toronto.com.